KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
Thank you. To the sounds of Memphis on Bill Street Caravan. Here's more from Kaya Cater.
I believe in being ready. I believe in being ready. I believe in being ready when this world is to an end. Oh, sinners, do get ready. Sinners to get ready for the times of drawing near. Oh, there'll be signs and wonders. Yes, there'll be signs and wonders. Oh, there'll be signs and wonders when this this world is to an end. And the moon, she will be bleeding. Yes, the moon, she will be bleeding. Oh, the moon, she will be bleeding when this world is to an end. And the sun, she will be darkened. Yes, the sun, she will be darkened. Oh, the sun, she will be darkened when this world is to an end. I believe in being ready. I believe in being ready. I believe in being ready when this world is to an end. And the stars will all be falling. Yes, the stars will all be falling. Oh, the stars will all be falling when this world is to an end. For there'll be them signs and wonders. Yes, there'll be them signs and wonders. There'll be them signs and wonders when this world is to an end. When this world is to an end.
Trouble in mind, I'm blue.
That was Kaya Cater live on Bill Street Caravan.
We'll be right back with more music in just a few minutes.
But first, we're going to turn it over to Bill Street Caravan contributor Dr. Barbara Ching. It's time now for our feature host, Barbara Ching. She is finishing up today a 10-part series on the relationship between blues and country music. It has been quite an interesting trip, and Barbara has really taken us behind the scenes and showed us the ties that bind the two music forms. Here's Barbara Ching.
There are lots of country and blues songs about death, and the final segment of this series on country music and the blues seems like the perfect time to talk about some. Of course, the hard times that country and blues singers cry about don't always end at the cemetery, especially when the devil claims his due.
Had a dream last night that I was dead. Had a dream last night that I was dead. All around my bed, the devil came and grabbed my hand. The devil came and grabbed my hand, took me way down to that red hot land. Me blue fairies stuck the forks in me. Mean blue fairies stuck the forks in me. Made me moan and groan in misery.
That's Bessie Smith singing Blue Spirit Blues. She might be joking about being hauled down to hell by a red-hot blue spirit. At any rate, her piano player sounds funny. But country superstar Charlie Rich, in his Don't Put No Headstone on My Grave, sounds serious about how his troubles won't let him rest in peace.
Don't put no headstone on my grave. Cause all of my life I've been a slave. I don't want the world to know. Put me down and let me be free from all this misery. Yeah, tell my mother not to cry.
The words say that the dead man will get free from his trouble, but he's singing the words in such agony that you can't believe them, whether he's on his deathbed or expressing a death wish, or giving his pallbearers instruction. He doesn't sound like he'll rest in peace in that unmarked grave. Charlie Rich recorded this in Memphis. It was released in 1992, almost 20 years after his huge Nashville hit, Behind Closed Doors. There's no resting in peace when death is just one more piece of bad luck in a losing streak that won't end. Ma Rainey and Hank Williams describe the experience in almost the same way when they go down to the river to end it all.
I went down to the river each and every day, and I keep on calling me myself away. I walked and walked till I wore out my shoes. I can't walk no further, yonder from the blues.
Here the thing's again me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. I'm wearing all the time is full of holes and nails. And brother, if I stepped on a worn out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails. I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow, cause nothing's ever gonna be alright no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
Ma Rainey sang her song, Yonder Come the Blues, in 1925, and she sang for a good while after that. But Williams released I'll Never Get Out of This World Alive in November 1952, just weeks before he died while traveling to a New Year's Day performance. Thanks to recording studios, the songs and voices of the great blues and country singers still haunt American music. Maybe that's what these songs about death say best. That's sure what the ultimate song about death says. I'm talking about Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Ada Habershon, an English evangelist and hymn composer, wrote this song early in the 20th century, and A.P. Carter later arranged it and copyrighted it for the Carter family. It starts out to be a song about a funeral, but it has ended up as a song about how music, especially the music we have on those circular pieces of plastic, inspires and unites the people left behind. Maybe that's why so many blues and country artists sing it. The Carter family, Roy Acuff, John Lee Hooker, the Neville brothers, the Holmes brothers, and here, the Staples singers.
Standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw the birds come rolling, ooh, to take my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken? Undertaker, undertaker.
behind her. Try to hold her and be brave, but I could not hold my sorrow.
Street Caravan, this is Barbara Ching.
We want to remind our listeners you can find Bill Street Caravan on all the social media outlets. Look us up and join in on the fun.
For more information or if you want to get involved, go to our website at BillStreetCaravan.com. Shoot us an email or sign up for our monthly newsletter to find out where the caravan is going to be next.
And you can also keep up with Bill Street Caravan via our podcast. It's available through iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, and just about anywhere podcasts can be found.
Speaking of podcasts, check out our newest production, the Blues Hall of Fame podcast, also available through iTunes, Google Play, and TuneIn.
We have to take a quick break for local announcements, but stick around. There's more music to come. You're listening to the Sounds of Memphis on Bill Street Caravan. AutoZone is proud to support Bill Street Caravan and many other arts organizations that strengthen the greater Memphis community. Parts are just part of what we do. AutoZone.com.
Bill Street Caravan is also supported by awards from the Memphis Convention and Visitors Bureau, Tennessee Arts Commission, Arts Memphis, and Tennessee Tourism. TennesseeVacation.com. The soundtrack of America was made in Tennessee. We're back, and for those of you just tuning in, we have emerging folk artist Kaya Cater with us.
Kaya came to town to perform as a part of the Folk All Y'all concert series. Folk All Y'all, still feels weird, by the way, to say, Folk All Y'all has supported and nurtured the folk scene here in Memphis for more than a decade by producing an ongoing house concert series.
House concert, office concert, you know. Folk All Y'all creates environments that provide very intimate and respectful listening experiences.
We jumped at the chance to partner with Folk All Y'all and have Kaya on Bill Street Caravan, but we ran into a snag.
They were told by the site host that, unfortunately, the office building was going to be undergoing unexpected construction that day.
Instead of canceling or trying to reschedule, we said, hey, bring the party over here.
That's right. The performance you're listening to was taped in front of a live audience right here in the Bill Street Caravan office.
And before the show, I had a chance to sit down and talk with Kaya. Let's hear what she had to say. We're going to start off with the banjo. So when did you start exploring the history of this instrument?
I mean, I remember starting to really conceive of the banjo as an instrument of African descent, actually here in Memphis, because I attended the Folk Alliance conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the Carolina Chocolate Drops were the first black banjo playing band that I'd ever seen. And they showed up, this must have been 2006 or 2007. And, you know, their goal was really to educate people on, you know, the black traditions of the banjo and the southern traditions of the banjo. And, you know, that whole show, I was like pretty mesmerized because this was history that I feel like nobody had ever told me before. And honestly, most people didn't know about it.
Yeah.
You know, they knew about the banjo as a facet of bluegrass music and bluegrass music as, a, you know, a generally a white genre. And so it was the beginning of a lot for me in terms of beginning to try to understand the roots and the history of the banjo, as it were. It was such an out there thing to do.
Like, you're playing hillbilly music? What do you have that banjo for?
Exactly. And I didn't even understand myself. Like, I was a preteen and all I wanted to do was fit in. And so it's more complex than people believe it to be. And
yeah.
And I can keep that in my arsenal in case someone comes at me with questions about why a mixed race person is playing the banjo on stage. I can say, well, this is an instrument that has a complex, frankly, mixed race history.
Well, do you feel as though it was a part of your personal growth?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was, looking back, it was really symbolic for where I was at in my life and who I wanted to become and who I was scared to become, because we all face different challenges in life, and my particular burden, which was also a blessing, as many things are, was never really feeling like I fit in. Being biracial, I think the world works in binaries often.
Yeah.
And so to be both is also, to some people, to be neither. And so I think I tried for a long time to fit in and to try and anchor myself onto personality traits like being smart or being well-read or, you know, having some sort of line of defense against ignorance, I think was what I was trying to do. But it meant that I could never relax and be vulnerable and invest in myself and invest in art.
Mm-hmm.
And the banjo, even before I knew its history, it was like, it felt like a little piece of salvation to me, because I just like the way that it sounds, like regardless of its history, I love the way that it sounds, and it was the first thing that gave me a tool to write with and to mm-hmm. and to sing with, and I'll always be thankful for that, you know, because it really was the foundation from which I grew and continue to grow as a musician.
What is it like to look out and not see a reflection of yourself? Does it make you feel like you need to do more outreach musically to get in front of those audiences?
Yes, and you've hit on a really important subject for me and something that I've been thinking about a lot. So for a long time, I didn't talk about race with mm-hmm. my audiences because they were predominantly white. And for that reason, you know, I have been pretty guarded most of my life and have always assumed that people wouldn't understand what I was going through. And with age and maturity, you know, you gain a little bit of confidence and you start not really caring what other
yeah.
people think.
Yeah, the glorious part of getting older.
It's incredible. I love it. And so I've started talking a little bit more about the issues that I care about, like Black Lives Matter. You know, I wrote a protest song about that, and I'm very unapologetic about talking about that. But with white audiences, sometimes the room tenses up,
mm-hmm.
and I can feel that. And it's so different, because when I was in college, we toured around. I was in a string band, and we toured around, and you know, sometimes we would go to HBCUs, like historically black colleges and universities, and the reception of these songs would be so different, and it would be so much warmer, because
mm-hmm.
I feel like there was a through line of when we were speaking about, you know, that pain or like having that solidarity, there was an understanding there that was pretty tacit. And so, yeah, I would love to access those spaces and bring the music to people that don't necessarily know it or haven't heard it before.
So as you learned more about the music, how did that sort of weave itself into your songwriting?
It took a long time. It took about 3 years, I think. Because, I mean, I was just learning so much music at the beginning. I was just learning volumes of tunes and of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really consumed with representing those songs as best as I could in this band that I was in for the school. And so I think it took a lot of time for those songs and their meanings to settle in, and then for some of those themes to come back out through my songwriting. So yeah, it was definitely a process. But I mean, I think the biggest thing is that, especially from that experience, I learned that my songs have to have some sort of gravity to them. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I don't think I'll ever sing a song that I wrote flippantly or that doesn't hold its own. I just can't do that, because I think in those traditions, every song is about these massive themes of love and of death and of family, and really representations of, you know, the human process of suffering and of, you know, hoping against hope and all of these things that it's like I can't just sing about like ice cream anymore, you know?
Yeah. And my last question for you is, what is the difference between the clawhammer style and other styles of playing banjo?
I'm sure other people would argue with this, but I feel like no one really knows where it comes from. My theory is that it comes from West Africa, because it's a very percussive way of playing
banjo.
Yeah,
the rhythm is definitely...
The rhythm is there, and it's basically rhythm-based with, you know, melody added on top. And it's one of the older forms of banjo playing. So you have, like, the clawhammer players, right? And those people are, like, through the 1800s and the early 1900s. And then you have these young guys that come along that want to make everything faster, and that want to combine those elements of old time and roots music with the elements of jazz that they've been hearing. Mm-hmm. And so along comes Scruggs style, which was coined by Earl Scruggs, who many people know is a really great banjo player. And he started the three-finger style. So it was a way of picking faster and in more melodic ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of the newer style of bluegrass, and it's kind of the shreddier style, if you will. And so I think of the clawhammer style as like its grandfather or something.
Well, I thank you for taking the time to chat with us, and we're gonna go back to more music right now on Bill Street Caravan. Here's more from Kaya Cater live on Bill Street Caravan. Thank you.
comes little blackbird on a swing. Take me out to your glory. Take me out to your glory. Harlem's little blackbird in the sky. Harlem's little blackbird in the sky. Oh, fly us to good old Shanghai. Oh, fly us to good old Shanghai. And Harlem's little blackbird on the coast. Harlem's little blackbird on the coast. Oh, to your itching post. Harlem's little blackbird in July. Harlem's little blackbird in July.
listening to the sounds of Memphis on Bill Street Caravan. Here's more from Kaya Cater.
You want to try it out? Thank you guys so much for coming out. Have a great night. Sandra Ryan.
That was Kaya Cater live on Beale Street Caravan.
Special thanks to our community partners at Folk All Y'all in Memphis, Tennessee for making this episode of Beale Street Caravan possible.
To find out more about Kaya, just head over to KayaCater.com.
And be sure to check out her tour dates. Chances are she's coming to a music venue near you soon.
Special thanks to our supporters, AutoZone, the Memphis Convention and Visitors Bureau, Arts Memphis, Tennessee Arts Commission, Tennessee Tourism, and Bridging the Blues for their support in making Beale Street Caravan possible.
We'd like to remind our listeners to please show your support for public broadcasting. You won't find programming like this anywhere else.
You can find Beale Street Caravan on all the social media outlets. Follow us there. We've always got special features and additional content that we think you'll enjoy.
Go to our website at BealeStreetCaravan.com and sign up for our monthly newsletter to find out where the caravan is going to be next.
And you can always keep up with Beale Street Caravan via our podcast that's available anywhere podcasts can be found. We'll be back next week, so see you then. I'm Pat Mitchell-Worley.
And I'm Kevin Cubbins.
And you've been listening to the Sounds of Memphis on Beale Street Caravan.
Hi, this is Kevin Cubbins, your co-host of Beale Street Caravan. Next time on the program, we'll have emerging folk artist Kaya Cater. Also joining us will be Dr. Barbara Ching as she continues her series on country music and the blues. That's all coming up next time on Beale Street Caravan.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
Everyone's talking about chicken. Chicken's a popular word, but anywhere you go, you're bound to find a chicken ain't nothing but a bird. Some people call it a fowl. That's the story I heard. But let them call it this.